and welcome to AU to ANZ, episode number 2. This episode is called Connections, and with me today is Rodney, all the way from Arizona. Rodney Turner, how are you, Rodney?
I'm doing well, Jennifer. How are you?
Very well. It's a Tuesday afternoon here.
And a Monday evening here.
And it's a freezing cold day. I'm wondering if we've made 10 degrees.
Really?
Celsius.
We probably made almost 40 Celsius today.
Right. What's 40 in Fahrenheit?
40 is 104. 104. Oh, so it was about 39 today.
Right. So it was nice opposites. And, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we're talking about connections today, and you've got a great saying there.
Yeah. I say tomato, and you say?
Tomato.
I say Ames, and you say?
NAPLAN.
I say Common Core, and you say?
Oswells.
I say elementary, and you say?
Primary.
But we both say?
Learning.
Learning, excuse me, we're passionate about integrating ICT into learning.
Yes, information and communication technologies into our learning to get it put in there so that kids can be engaged and they're doing things just like we are in the real world.
Absolutely. I think it's so important. So I have an analogy. In high school, I talked about building and construction. One of the things that I learned is a house has three parts, three main parts, a foundation, walls and rooms, as well as a roof. I see learning as a huge house. The foundation is the communication and writing and reading piece. The walls and rooms are the math, science, and social studies, and the, I guess you could say, content areas. And the roof is, or roof, as some people like to say, are life's experiences. They put a cap on everything. And as the house becomes bigger with more information and more content, the house expands. Therefore, the roof expands. Now, the whole thing's a messy process, and it's constantly in flux, constantly moving. Things are coming in and out. So one of the things that I like to share is a time lapse of framing a house. It's really neat because I didn't realize how many connections have to be made just to make a roof over a house. The YouTube in the notes, and you'll see just how some of the roof pieces, the trusses, that's what they're called, the trusses.
I was thinking about that and thinking about, you know, you often see diagrams of brains and they show all the different connections that our brains make as our lives go on, and it starts out quite not much there, and by the time a person is much older, they've got all these links and connections through their different brain waves.
Uh-huh.
And I know when we're doing our learning, one of the things we're really trying to do is to make sure that learners have great connections from what they already know to the new. And that makes learning a lot easier if they can make connections between what they already know and the new learning.
Absolutely. I think that is so important.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've learned is that in order to make a new connection to a new subject, you have to make sure that you use a process that children already know. Or a procedure that the children already know. But if you're learning a new procedure, then you need to use a content that the children already know. So that way they can make those connections, have something familiar to attach to the learning, to make it easier for them to put it together.
Yeah, and when we're reading books, we're often talking about three different connections that we can make when in reading, connecting the text to ourself and our own life, and connecting the text to other books that may be able to compare with, and then connecting the text to the world, what's happening in the world. So making those type of connections through our reading in different ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Text to self, text to books, and text to world. Yeah, that is great. That is something that I've tried to do in my class, now that I think about it. That's so important.
It is. And another way that we can make connections, of course, is social connections with people. And Rita Pearson has a wonderful YouTube video, a TED Talk, Every Kid Needs a Champion. It's been flying around Twitter in the last week. And she has some very important messages about educators getting to know their students and understanding their students before they want to be understood. Finding the positives in students and really building great relationships with their students. And, you know, we think back to teachers that you remember in schools, and they are the ones that built great relationships, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They are the ones that children come back to, and they say, I love that teacher. Well, why? What did you learn?
Yeah.
They were nice. They were good. They were someone that made them feel really good. Not necessarily what they taught them, but a lot of it is just how the teacher made them feel.
Yeah. So connections, you know, our connections began through ICT and Twitter in particular. And we were able to make connections through that, not even knowing each other, and then meeting at Mobile 2012 last year, making stronger connections, which have led to some great projects we've done between the schools in Arizona and Australia and globally around the world. So connections can be very important for teachers as well as for students. Teachers connecting with other teachers that we like to see happening more and more with our technology making it so easy. And, of course, students also making connections around the globe as well. They no longer have to stick with who's in their classroom. You can connect to experts, all sorts of people around the world.
Yeah, I find that to be the most fun part about it. If I have a question, I'll ask, and I get a lot of responses, and it's really neat to see that. Different viewpoints, but still, it's the connections that people make.
Yeah. So when we're considering using ICT in our learning and trying to get some of these connections going for students, we've sort of been thinking about some different sorts of ICT that we can use, either software, to make this happen. And I've been thinking lately, you know, being able to share things between different people and being able to collaborate on work together, either on a global scale or just within your class or with just another school or just between students and the teachers, and came up with three, kind of like the three main players, I suppose, for sharing: Google, Dropbox and Evernote. And, some people use one and stick to one. Some people use all three. I think we'll be up to all three soon. they have different uses. The three of them have different uses, really. Dropbox being just a sharing place like a locker box where you put things. Evernote being another storage place where you put things, but you can add value to the things you put there, add notes, add audio and different things like that for building up great student e-portfolios and that sort of thing. And then Google, of course, which adds another element where people can collaborate and be on the same document, on the same page and working together.
You know, I used that last year with a group of teachers. We had to create a scope and sequence of standards for technology standards and what we were going to teach to make sure that we were all pretty much on the same page using and identifying the particular standards that we wanted to make sure were addressed throughout the year. And it was really neat to see these teachers collaborate within a document. We actually used Google the spreadsheet, and they were able to put their different pieces in within one page, and it was really, really interesting to see how they're like, wow, this is really neat. We're all working on it, and there were 20 of us working in one document, lots of comments that were, this is really neat. How can I use this in my class? Yeah. And some wanted to use it in their class, but our school, we're not to Google Apps for Education yet, but we are getting there.
Yeah, well, some classes even just have a class account, and students may log in with the class account. Or if you've got iPads and things that can be sort of left logged on as the class account, if they're shared devices in the school, that's another way to go. We have class Dropbox accounts because our iPads are school managed this year and don't go home. And are used between classes and different levels of the school. So each class has a Dropbox account, and you know, things just go in there from different work so they don't have to go back to the same iPad.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so today actually I had grade 1 and 2, and today they were learning how to do some drawings and explain everything that they already knew. But we were learning a workflow where you do your picture, save it, export it to the photo gallery, and then open Book Creator and put your picture in there. And then so you can work on it easily, put it into Dropbox.
Wait a minute. You said grade one and two.
Grade one and two. We're doing all those steps. Yes, all those steps. So it was a great workflow. And getting them to be able to connect and see other people's work in the Dropbox as well, because then we can make connections by putting all our work there, and we can actually join up a whole lot of books together and have one book. And they love to make connections between each other and share their work with each other. So that was really nice.
That is really neat. Yeah. I have to ask, did you have issues with children not issues with children not being able to get their stuff up to Dropbox or back into Explain Everything?
They're fine at getting anything into Book Creator and Explain Everything. Doing that was fine. Getting the picture into the photo gallery was fine. Getting into Dropbox is a little bit, they need a little bit of help and guidance with that. And some, we haven't done it a real lot either, so this is like their third go at doing it. So we've got an actual workflow in Dropbox. We have to get that workflow in an so it's more automatic, and then we'll be right with that.
Right. So you said it's the third time. So how many children were you working with?
I was working with 24 children.
24 children. And about how many had issues?
Oh, I can't remember. Maybe six or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
A quarter of the class, just a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, a quarter of the class had
issues. They had a big screen and they could follow along.
That's a great procedure.
To see what I was doing and click on this. This is what we need to click on. Now, what grade are you in? And they choose their class. And they'd put their name in and then it was save. Done.
Wow. Grade one and two.
Yeah. Connection.
So what you're telling me then, is it very important for a teacher to have certain procedures already laid out of how you're going to show these instructions, how you're going to model what you want the children to do?
Yes. We've actually made some laminated pictures of the apps as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just put them out in an order of this is the workflow that we're going to be doing, and who else can think of a different workflow, and the kids might put them in different orders and things or have some different apps we haven't thought of. Because today we did our drawing and Explain Everything, but they could have used Doodle Buddy or lots of other ones.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So what about some other collaborative type of sites that you can think of?
I really like using Edmodo.
Yeah.
And the reason why I like using Edmodo is because you have the threading process. When you create a post, when you say you have a question and you post, then a person can comment. And when they comment, they can put in a note, they can put in a link to another site, they can put in a video if they wanted to, and you would be able to see it. Everyone would be able to see it. All the information right there with the initial post. I also like the fact that you can have people join different groups and interact with those groups as well as taking links from one and sharing it with another. So I like to call it Facebook for educators,
Yeah, it is. And I see you've made an AU to AZ Edmodo group.
Yes, I did. And that group is going to be shared out, and then go to the notes and click on the link and you'll be able to join our group. We're going to have some essential questions.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It says username and password. So do I just make one up or have I got to go somewhere and register first?
You have to register first.
Right.
You have to register for Edmodo first. If you have your own account, you can go ahead and log in and you would join the group after you log in.
If you log in, you click on that link and it'll join you to the group.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I'll have to try that.
I'm going to have some really great questions in there.
Right, and that'll give us some really great opportunities for collaborating and seeing what Edmodo is like without having to set up one for our own class. We can just have a go at that one and see how it goes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And also, it will also give us some information for future episodes, too.
It will, won't it? Yeah.
That's right.
Good eye. Good thinking. Good thinking, Rodney. That's a great thought. Very good idea.
Part of connections that we have.
Part of making more connections. Yeah. Well, today's meet's another great one for getting kids to collaborate, because when you go to today's meet site, it's a bit like having your own Twitter but just in your room. and they don't have to register. They can just put their name in and then put their comment, and it goes up on the board and you see everyone's comments under each other.
So that's kind of like Poll Everywhere, kind of? Or is it
Poll. It's like Twitter, basically, except it's like, you have the whole room to yourself.
Kind of like a back channel, if I may use that term.
Like a back channel, yeah. Or you could have kids just putting up questions, and they use this, and they all put in their name and their question, and it comes and lists down the board just like a Twitter feed. Or you could, I've had them doing, just vocabulary work. We're looking for things that are red. And they'll all type in different things and we'll get a big list of things that are red. Or we might have healthy foods and they all have to just put in healthy foods and it comes up on the board.
So now, what kind of devices do you use for this?
For today's meet, it's just on the internet, so you can use it on any device. So it's really nice, isn't it?
So tablet, iPhone, a phone,
any browser.
Laptop. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So that's great, isn't it?
Mm. That is neat. Mm.
Another one that I like for collaborating was shared to me by Tony Vincent at Slide to Learn.
Uh-huh.
Called infuselearning.com. And what I really liked about this one is you register and you make a room and the students just need the room number and they put the room number in and it gets them to your task. Infused learning has polls and all sorts of things, but the thing I really picked up on, it allows the students to submit about a topic by drawing. And they can all do their own drawing on their own white page and submit it, and then you can get them and save them as a PDF file.
Wow.
With all their drawings. And as they're submitting their drawings, you'll see, if you have it on a big screen, you'll see each of the child's drawing coming up. And you can see all the different drawings coming up. And I just thought it was really great, a great way to collaborate and using drawing, which is what we love to do in elementary school. But, I mean, if you put them in a PDF file, then you could bring that PDF into something else and add even more value by putting audio or some text on it, all sorts of things. So Infused Learning, another great collaborative website.
That – I have to look into that. Definitely have to look into that.
Yeah.
That seems really neat.
Tony always has some new little trick that you pick up on, which is nice. Yeah,
Now, I have to ask you this.
Yes?
What's the tipping point for all of these connections? Is there a tipping point of where, okay, I'm just done, I'm overextended, and I can't keep all these connections? Have you found there to be one?
Well, I've actually found lately that a part of my PLN has gone off onto Google Plus and aren't into it much anymore. So I went into Google Plus for a while, but then I found it was too many notifications and it just became overwhelming. So I just decided to turn it off. So that's what I do. Turn one part off and just keep with one part that I can handle. That's what you have to do. You have to limit yourself a bit so you can still have your rest of your day and your life going and fit your connections in.
Huh.
One other thing
Yeah? Go ahead.
The other thing I do like to do, though, is I do like to travel a bit and see a lot of my connections face-to-face.
Oh, yeah.
Because that just adds a whole nother dimension to the connections and projects and all sorts of things happen. When you do that, so it's not always possible, but if you can make it possible, it's a really great thing to do.
That sounds really good.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, can I say 150?
150 what?
Yeah, I can have you. There is a number called the Dunbar's number, which is 150.
Right.
At 150, then you.
It's how many
valued relationships, friendships a person can have. It's about 150 for a meaningful social connection. Right. 150.
It'd be interesting to go through all your, like, say, all my followers on Twitter and actually mark off which ones I actually, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
it would be really interesting. Robin Dunbar worked with Russell Hill, and they pieced together an English household's network of Yuletide cheer. This was based upon how many Christmas cards they would send out. They were able to report that about a quarter of the cards went to relatives, Yep. Nearly two-thirds to friends and 8% to colleagues. Mm. But they found that there was a single number, the total population of the households each set of cards went out to, and that was that number was about 153.5, or roughly 150.
Wow, I never write that many Christmas cards. Do you?
No.
No, I don't write that many cards. Boy.
That's a lot of postage.
Yeah, a lot of time to write them as well.
I would get hand cramp after that. But just thinking about that, how many people do you have circled in Google Plus? How many people do you have in your Twitter following? Mm-hmm. How many people do you have in your Facebook? I'm pretty sure it's more than 150.
Oh, yes. Much more than that. Sometimes I go through and cull.
you do what?
Go through and cull.
Cull. Oh, cull. I would call that purging.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, you would get rid of all those that weren't contributing to what you need to do, right?
That's right. People who haven't contributed for a long time, because some people join up and then they just don't use it. And you can tell they've got no tweets, or they haven't tweeted for over so many months and all that things, because people move in and out of different connections.
Yeah.
They do. And I guess they find their place and they find what works for them, which is what you do.
Absolutely. Tools and people.
Yeah.
It's not about the quantity, but about the quality.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got a huge list of other connecting tools like wikis, blogs, VoiceThread, Lino, whiteboards, all sorts of things that we can use for connections. But the best tool is usually the one you use.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Otherwise, you can flip from one to the other and not do any properly. So, blogs are being used incredibly around the school by grades and classes and schools for making connections between classes. The quad blogging that's run out of the UK.
You know what? I've seen it, but I'm not quite familiar with it.
Ah, you'll have to Google quad blogging.
All right, I'll do that.
It's really taken off. One of my teachers was in one of the quad blogging sessions, and you get so many weeks and you're matched up with three other schools. It's really great. David Mitchell in the UK is the person who began it all and continues to run it. I don't know how he fits it in, because it's a massive job, because he coordinates schools from all around the world and matches them up with other schools, which is really great. If you go to quadblogging.net, you'll find the site that's all about it. And you can get involved in some great projects in that. And gives blogging a bit more of an emphasis and a bit more point to it, sort of.
Absolutely.
By the connections,
That is so good to have those different types of connections.
Mm. Yeah, so... more connections than we can deal with, but connections are very important, and relationships in learning makes everything happen much better.
So I do have a personal note that I would love to ask you.
Yes.
You had Mother's Day, right?
Yes.
How was your Mother's Day connections?
My Mother's Day connections were fine. All my four children all came home and made me lunch, and we had a lovely day. That was nice.
That's great.
I went on the Mother's Day walk. We had the Mother's Day Classic here on Mother's Day. And I used to run it, but I haven't done much training this year, so I walked. Felt a bit bad that I wasn't running 8 kilometres or something. I just did the 4-kilometre walk, but we raised money for the cancer, breast cancer. So that's usually on Mother's Day. Do they do that in the States?
They may in different places, but we don't have one here, being that it's so warm in May.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to have a swim-a-thon or something.
Yes, maybe. My Mother's Day was good.
I had
the opportunity to spend some time with my mom and talk with her, and it was really good. It was really good for me.
Oh, that's great. Nice to have a good time like that, isn't it? Get family together and see everybody and make those connections.
Absolutely. Jennifer, do you have anything else to say to close this out? Our time is almost
I think our time is well and truly over, Rodney, and thank you very much for today, our connections. And I've noticed a pattern, by the way. Our first episode was creating. This is connections. Uh-huh. And I did read recently about the seven C's of education.
Ooh.
So we've done two. Five
we've
to
done
go.
Two already?
Yeah, five to go. So that'll be interesting. Thank you to
Stay
all
Stay tuned
listeners.
For the next C.
Yeah, thanks to all our listeners for listening today. And we'll see you in episode 3. Bye.
Goodbye.